Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
I have finished the ruling on the objections to Dr. Vose's deposition designations that the defense sent. I don't think I have seen any plaintiff objections, if there are any.
We don't have any.
And so my assistant will be sending those out sometime this afternoon.
Great, Judge. And for purposes of depositions, we do have Dr. Hannah's dep ready to go today. It's considerably shorter because at 10:30 last night, the plaintiffs withdrew a lot of their designations after we've all reviewed them. And then we also have Dr. Byrne's deposition ready to go.
And back to Dr. Vose for just a second. There was like one question I had, because I didn't know what was actually designated in the page or two before, okay. So I'll need to know that. And you'll see my hand, right? So that lengthy note that might not be very legible is, I need to know what actually was designated in the page or two before.
All right. Excellent, Judge. I'll let you know.
We do have one issue with Dr. Hannah's deposition. We'd like the court to take another look. I have a copy of the clip report here, if helpful.
Okay.
And we would be a 403 issue up the show, whatever you like.
Yeah, I just...
Which,
chapter
39.
Which Hannah deposition?
Okay.
Yes, about Fern. Is it on one or on two?
But okay.
What date? There was a couple
it's
of...
It's the November 20th, 2020 deposition.
So that was the earliest one.
What page?
Page 165, beginning line 1 through line 22.
165.
What are we talking about?
403.
Okay, I'm on page 165. What's the issue?
Your Honor, we believe this is a 403 issue consistent with the court's previous efforts to keep this.
What lines?
And specifically, 165.11 through the remainder.
Through 22?
22, Your Honor.
Judge, this is an agreement that she signed with Dr. Hannah. It's in the records. It's in Dr. Hanna's medical records. It's not one of those blank ones that we had talked earlier about with Kirkpatrick. It's an agreement that she signed and is in the record.
It's also, I believe, signed by Dr. Hanna, a witness or two from his practice group.
We believe, if it's allowed in, that they will argue that the jury should infer that she did provide it intravenously despite conversation here. And that's why we moved to the 403, 404 issue.
Judge, there's no question that Mrs. Kowalski provided oral ketamine to Maya, and the plaintiff wants to eradicate any reference to ketamine being given at home. There's already been testimony that she, in fact, did give oral ketamine at home.
We're not simply to strike reference to oral ketamine. We're fine with that. Our concern is the reference to intravenous ketamine at home, which has, on all previous occasions, been excluded.
Well,
there's also an evidence in Exhibit, Trial Exhibit 2408-1559, in which this witness that we're about to see, James Schott, expresses exactly what is to be, how it's to be used for. There isn't a commercial product for oral use. You have to get injectable and take it orally.
What?
In other words, it's the same substance that could be given orally or intravenously.
Let's put it this way. In retrospect, I probably should, starting on line 11, she did ask me for the balance needs to be out.
So what were the lines again, the page lines you want to excise?
Page 165, line 11, we can leave in because she did ask me, period. And then remove, she did ask me, can I give it IV, through the balance, which appears to be 165, line 12. Sorry, 165, line 22.
Thank you, Your Honor.
The record should reflect that's over, objection, Your Honor.
Understood.
So,
Cottrell?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Is it Mr. Cottrell?
Cottrell. Yeah.
Cottrell. Mr. Cottrell has the control again.
3402. Oh, okay. Sure. I think he's making that edit, Judge. Give just a minute. There's two pages. It's the pharmacy records, Judge.
That's a problem.
Wait, Judge, the fact that ketamine's on there is the oral ketamine. There's been testimony that she did, in fact, give her ketamine and Gatorade. I don't know if they want to wipe out all reference to ketamine, but that's testimony, and we believe we're entitled to have the jury know all the medications that Maya was getting. And it says PO, by mouth.
Your Honor, this is the record that I was looking at yesterday that they handed me to verify the Dilaudid pump, or if that's the right name of the drug.
Hydromorphone is also known as Dilaudid.
All right, so hydromorphone, Dilaudid, and that's five, six entries down. You'll see two there for hydromorphone.
I thought yesterday I was told this was already up.
This is a different.
Your Honor, yesterday you asked, there was a controversy yesterday over whether the prescription was already in.
Phil.
And then this, you were shown this yesterday with respect to the question of whether the prescription was filled.
I asked two questions. I asked, was the prescription filled, and was the pharmacy records in evidence? And I was told the pharmacy records were in evidence.
I don't think the latter, Your Honor.
I don't remember that question, Judge.
Apologize if I misremember. That was one of the reasons why I was letting in the script yesterday. And now we've got a document that has intravenous written all over it.
Judge, we're having a calling the pharmacist, and we're not going to, and he can explain that the ketamine, it says PO, and that's by mouth, and we'll have him explain
route, intravenous. Route intravenous. IVPRN, IVPRN. How many intravenous?
Where have you seen that, Judge?
Well, there's several medications.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16.
Oh, Judge, those are not, the IV ones are not, they're not ketamine. She was giving her IV hydration.
There's no question she was giving her IV. There's normal saline and Zofran and Hydroport that she was giving intravenously. I don't think there's any question about that. But if you look down at the ketamine, Judge, on the first page of this exhibit, the three lines up from the bottom, the two are ketamine, and the prescription is frequency as needed, and then the route is oral. Now, what Mr. Anderson just made reference to is the fact that if you get ketamine, it comes as one solution. The solution can be IV, IM, or oral. But this prescription is for oral. And that was the only thing that was going to be adduced. The point that was going to be made, that I hope to make with this exhibit, is simply that it verifies that the hydromorphone and the PCA pump were in fact filled, and then it had been my intention to approach the bench or the remainder of it regarding the ketamine. And for that matter, the other IV matters.
They're not disputing the oral ketamine, Judge. And
I have no problem with oral ketamine. Okay. For some of the reasons I expressed yesterday, I remain very concerned about this discussion about IV. And because I do feel that there's a big 403 issue, I'm trying to.
Well, do you want us to remove intravenous?
What is intravenous?
Right here. He's talking about the intravenous.
But that's not for the kidney. That's for the.
Your Honor, if the court's going to admit this, it seems the defense's stated purpose is specifically for the hydromorphone, which is at the top of the screen there. So we would ask for the remainder to be redacted. And they can reference the hydromorphone, those two prescriptions there, for that two-week period in November.
But even then, what is the relevance here of whether for the trip to Mexico she got hydromorphone? We failed to understand, unless you're getting into 403 or 404 bad acts, I guess, what relevance is it to the issues before the jury whether on the trip to Mexico she... Maya had hydromorphone available.
Judge, these are prescriptions that Maya was given. It goes towards how much medication she was needing, how she was doing, the fact that she's getting oral ketamine at home, which has already been testified to by the plaintiffs, how much she was getting. Because they stood up here and showed a chart to the jury. Here's when she was getting her infusions. Well, in between those infusions, she was getting oral ketamine at home. And I think that's relevant for perspective for how she was doing. We're not trying to imply that she was getting intravenous ketamine.
And I agree, the oral ketamine, I have no problem with the oral ketamine. That, it's everything else in this document, and how is it going to be used is my bigger concern.
Well,
I just.
Do you want us to remove intravenous?
I don't know what I want. I just know, given the years of concern I've had about this issue, the number of times we've talked about IV, I am very wary about this subject. And for the reasons I expressed yesterday, I remain very hypersensitive about this issue.
Okay.
And it seems to me that we also, since there's already been testimony that there's oral ketamine and that she was taking it in 2015. It also seems to be, we're trying to continue to prove an issue that is not a dispute.
Well, except the amount she's getting. And this is oral ketamine in March of 16, in April of 16, there are different months that she's getting prescriptions for oral ketamine.
There's a pattern of oral ketamine, Judge, that extends across the period of time that plaintiffs have been contending that she was doing quite well and she was a freight train headed to college and was not needing ketamine treatments. And during that same period of time, these prescriptions indicate that she was, in fact, getting oral ketamine boosters, that her mother was, in fact, giving her that. Now, the IV portion of this is not in dispute. There's already been testimony from Dr. Kirkpatrick that he prescribed IV normal saline to be given to this patient by her mother through her port, PRN. That ship has sailed. This just documents that it was sailing farther out into the sea. There's nothing to be done with it other than the fact that there it is. It's being done.
The only thing this is for is, again, 403, Bad Act 39 stuff, and that they're trying to argue that she was being given, what, too much ketamine or too little ketamine, or that the ketamine was helping her get better or wasn't getting better. I don't see those, Your Honor, respect to counsel, as probative of anything in this case. And if it is, it's cumulative to all of the other stuff. And our concern, frankly, is that through testimony of the next witness and skilled questioning, this is going to turn into a Chapter 39, 403 issue. I just sure as shooting it's going to go right back to that edge and over. I don't, because the only reason, from a trial tactic point of view, to get into this would be to demonstrate that Beata was giving her too many drugs, and that's somehow probative of Beata being a bad person. I don't understand any other way this could come out, and even if there is a superficial reason for doing it, to me, we know how the initial description of the evidence somehow ends up coming back around.
Well, but I still maintain that it is fine and not any sort of violation of the court's prior orders that the discussion and evidence relating to the oral ketamine that Maya Kowalski either did or did not take prior to 2016 is relevant and admissible in this trial. Okay. So perhaps what we do is we leave in the ketamine items and then just redact the balance of the document, because it seems like you want the ketamine, and I'm fine with the ketamine.
Well, the hydromorphone.
And what about the hydromorphone, Judge?
Well,
that is exactly where they started out going on this, which is to say...
Either you get the script...
We got the script.
Either you get the script and we redact the hydromorphone off of this one, or we leave the hydromorphone in this one and you don't get the script.
Okay. That's fair. Okay. I mean, I understand.
Which is it?
Well, I'm trying to understand the choice.
Well,
okay.
You see, you want it two different ways,
well,
the same information.
And Your Honor is correct. I do want it both ways, and the reason is very clear. Dr. Kirkpatrick sat up there and testified that, yes, he wrote this prescription for the PCA and the hydromorphone. Yes, it was necessary for him to do that because of the pain and because his treatment had not worked. But then he said it hadn't been filled. He testified that the prescription was not filled. The document that we're trying to use here, this document, is a document from Coram that the gentleman we're about to put on is going to testify, documents, among many other things, that it was filled, that he filled it. That's the point.
And went through Fabre this morning, Your Honor, and so whatever Dr. Kirkpatrick did in that regard is irrelevant.
It doesn't matter. The Fabre does not matter to this judge. The point is...
Can we let Mr. Anderson finish his argument, please?
Yes. We have to look at what the impression this is supposed to make on the jury. It is one thing to stand up and say, well, we think it could be as to this, but the clear import is that Kirkpatrick is either lying or giving medications or agreeing that ketamine doesn't work or I'm not sure what all else, none of which is pertinent to any issues here. If the court wants, and again, the court has been very clear about the ketamine orally coming in because they want to talk about dosing, fine. But as to the remainder of this, all it can go to is either Beata bad or Kirkpatrick bad. It can't go to anything else.
Yes, it can. Respectfully, Your Honor, yes, it can. It goes directly to the point of the extent of the child's disease. They're saying that we aggravated a pre-existing condition. They're saying she had this condition that we made worse. This shows how bad that condition was, how bad it stayed, how bad it was refractory to this therapy that was going on. It goes directly to that issue. It starts with the hydromorphone and goes right through all the ketamine.
And at this point, I've told you the ketamine, oral ketamine is fine. With respect to the Zofran and the hydro whatever, I again, if you want this document, that's fine, but you're not getting the script as well.
Okay.
And so, okay, so you want the pharmacy record, we need to, you know, redact out all this other stuff.
Okay, can you be clearer, Judge, on what you want us to redact?
The items that are in the script, those items can stay on the pharmacy record, the ones that you're talking about, the hydromorphone, the Zofran, the ketamine, that can stay. That's what you were talking about, right?
Yes, yes, sir.
Go to page 2, Clay.
You'll also see on here, Judge, there's a medication called Gammagard, that's IVIG, that's also been the subject of testimony. It's not a surprise that that was being administered at home, sure you missed it as well, pursuant to an order from Dr. Barr, who testified in front of this court rather early in the plaintiff's direct.
Again, this is designed to create the idea that Beata is giving all of these at home, and then what? Somehow that's doing what? And all of these are prescribed, and everyone knew what she was taking. And I have not yet heard an expert on their part come in and make the arguments, the technical arguments that they're making, that somehow this affected the degree of her disease or an indication of it. So to us, we cannot see where it doesn't either go chapter 39 or 404 and irrelevant to the issues.
I continue to struggle with how medications given in 2015 impact what the hospital did or didn't do, its acts or omissions in October of 2016, and whether the hospital exacerbated a condition that the hospital says that doesn't exist, how that is in fact relevant when I compare it to the substantial 403 issue that I know that is out there that I've been struggling with since the first day I've been assigned to this case. And so I...
Judge, these are 2016 scripts. So
well,
we're talking about...
These. I don't see one that is after...
No,
there's one that was, on October 7th?
Are you talking about the ketamine specifically, Judge?
Of this is before the hospitalization that we're talking about.
But it's all leading up to the hospitalization, Judge, and it goes to her condition and how much it was taking for her to be as she appears in the photograph.
I'm about ready to just say nothing comes
okay.
up, honestly, because right. Everyone's arguing so much about this, which further makes it clear to me that the purpose of this is not is different. The purpose of, let me just say this. I remain very concerned about the 403 issue. That is huge, and I know that's right out there, and I am concerned, especially since we're, what, 6 or 7 weeks into this trial, that we might be walking into a mistrial, and I don't want to have that happen, and I'm just really, 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 really concerned.
All right, Judge, so I understand the court's order or ruling at this point. The oral ketamine stays. The hydromorphone stays.
And the
Zofran stays. And everything else is out.
What's the Zofran?
Why the Zofran? I mean, yesterday it was a lot of time.
It was the items that were on the script, Dr. Hannah's script,
all right,
which is what they were trying to argue yesterday.
I wasn't aware that included Zofran.
This
script.
Okay, so it's hydromorphone and the ketamine.
Whatever's on that script.
Ketamine's not on the script, Judge. It's the hydromorphone.
You can have the ketamine. I am fine with the ketamine.
All right, so we'll redact that. Over objection. I understand.
So let's show it to the defense before, show it to the plaintiffs before it's shown, and if there's any further redactions, we'll address that.
So we just redact the entire entry medication all the way through?
Oh, he's going to go mute.
Let's just leave the...
statement. We will be making objections to the VOS 2019 deposition they intend to play, and we'll have those to the court by the time we leave today. We thought they were planned in 2023. My apologies.
Okay. So I'll be on the lookout for that.
I'm sorry?
I'll be looking out for the further objections that I have to rule
on. Yeah,
I'll
be given that.
We also observed Dr. Windham. We're waiting for those to...
I don't think I've seen anything with Dr. Windham.
We're waiting for them to tell us if they have any objections,
right, yeah.
Like we did with Dr. Bose.
Dr. Windham was sent over yesterday evening, I believe, so we'll do that this weekend. Okay.
Yeah, so just to be clear, Judge, sorry, because I thought we were good on Hannah's. I just want to confirm. There are no issues with Dr. Byrne's deposition. Is that correct?
Mr. Whitney.
Dr. Byrne, we're ready.
So, what are we doing right when I bring in the jury? What's next?
We're calling the pharmacist, Mr. Shaw. Okay.
And we still are working on the redaction.
We could want to play, Hannah?
I'm going to show him his prescription so that he remembers the prescription.
As I've told the lawyers, you can pretty much refresh recollection, but when we do it, let's not carry our script right next to the jury and wave it to the jury as we walk by the jury, which I've the thing I've been always saying.
I can truthfully tell the court that never crossed my mind.
That's fine. I just wanted to remind so we don't do that. Mr. Hunter, please don't look at me like that. Have you shown the plaintiffs the redaction yet?
I think they're finalizing. Oh, there we
go.
So are we going to print this out and mark it as 3402? 1 and 2A?
Yes.
Are we ready to bring in the jury?
And the script is not in evidence, right?
The script is not in evidence.
Okay.
Let's bring in the jury.
Yes, sir.
Members of jury, I want to confirm while you're away, you did not discuss this case amongst yourselves, you did no investigation, and received no information. Is that all correct? And has anyone approached you about this case? And any media coverage have you seen? Thank you very much. Mr. Hunter, please call your next witness.
Mr. James Schott.
Raise your hand.
You solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Good afternoon.
Tell us your name, please, sir.
James Vincent Schott.
And what is your occupation, Mr. Is it Mr. Schott?
Correct. I'm a retired pharmacist.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay. Where are you retired from?
My last place of employment was CVS Corum.
Okay. And what did you do with CVS Corum?
I was an infusion pharmacist.
Okay. What does that mean?
There are patients that come out of the hospital that have to finish IV intravenous therapy at home. We coordinate that, supply the medications, and dispense them for them.
Okay, very good. And I'm assuming you are registered with the state of Florida?
Correct.
Okay, and are you still licensed, or is it you left
that
lapse? Okay. Where did you get your training to be a pharmacist, sir?
I graduated from the University of Mississippi in 1981.
Okay. And how long were you with Corum?
About 10 years, a little over.
Okay. During the course of your tenure with Corum, did you work with Beata Kowalski?
She was an infusion nurse for Corum, yes. As far as working with her, no, I can't say that I did.
Okay. You came in contact with her on the job occasionally?
Well, they were out in the field. I was always in the branch.
I see. Was there a point in time at which you became involved with dispensing medication for Ms. Kowalski's daughter, Maya Kowalski?
Yes.
And when did that occur?
2015, November or so.
And was there a prescription that you had initially to fill for Maya Kowalski that was written by Dr. Kirkpatrick?
Yes.
And do you have that prescription with you today?
No.
Do you remember it?
Yes.
Okay. And if you would tell the jury what the prescription was for?
If it was a hydromorphone prescription. It's the first one we got.
Okay. And what is hydromorphone?
Hydromorphone is a narcotic pain reliever.
Do you remember the dosage and the route and all that stuff?
I remember the route, not the dosage.
Okay. Your Honor, permission to approach the plaintiff and show him up.
Yes.
I'm about to give you my only copy.
Okay. You can turn it over, sir, after you've refreshed your recollection.
I'm sorry.
Just turn it over when you're finished. Thank you.
Can you tell the jury what the medication was and what the route and dosage of the medication was?
medications, hydromorphone injectable, given IV via patient-controlled analgesia. It's 0.05 milligrams as a demand dose only.
Okay. Now, is hydromorphone also known as Dilaudid?
That was the brand name when it was first introduced. It's been generic for quite a while.
Okay. And that's analgesic?
Correct.
You said there was a, did you say it was a PCA, a patient-controlled analgesic device?
Correct.
Could you explain to the jury what that entails and what that is?
Patient-controlled analgesia involves administering meds intravenously via a pump. And the patient control part comes that they have a button on a bolus cord that they can push to give themselves an additional dose of medication.
So the patient is able to give themselves a dose of medication as they need it?
Correct.
But there's a governor, if you will, on how often they can do that?
The pump is programmed with parameters that will limit the amount of the dose and the timing.
So, in other words, you can only give so many doses per hour or per day.
Correct.
Or whatever. Okay. In this particular case, how long, how much was the dosage set for Maya Kowalski?
The dose is 0.05 milligrams, may I?
Sure.
With a 30-minute lockout.
And
no basal rate.
I'm sorry?
There's no basal rate.
Okay. Could you explain the lockout and the basal rate, please?
A basal rate is when the patient is getting a continuous infusion at a certain level, and then what we would call a demand dose is an additional dose given to increase the analgesia.
So in this case, there is no base rate. Sorry. There is no base rate. There was just a periodic dosage.
Correct.
Okay.
That could be administered.
And what was the date of the prescription that you got?
November 5 of 2015.
And did you fill that prescription?
Yes.
You dispensed the medication and the device?
Yes.
Okay. Were there subsequent prescriptions for the Kowalskis involving the medication ketamine?
The Kowalskis, I believe, had gone to Mexico for a ketamine coma. We did not get a prescription back until the following year.
Okay. So, in other words, you get some prescriptions in 2016, not 2015.
Correct.
Could we show... Defense Exhibit 3402A, pages 1 and 2, please. Does that refresh your recollection of the hydromorphone prescriptions are at the top there, but there are several ketamine prescriptions below that.
Yeah, it's chronological order.
Yes, sir.
And the first ketamine is not until February 25, 2016.
Okay. And then, and could you tell us how much ketamine was dispensed and for what dosage?
The dose is 50 milligrams orally as needed for RSD pain flare.
Okay. And it looks as if you dispensed that on February 25th initially, correct?
I don't recall dispensing it. You'd have to look at the dispensing record to see if I was the actual pharmacist on there, but I don't recall that.
Okay. This document that we're looking at, is that a document from Corium?
It looks like Corium's medication profile.
What is that?
So a list of the medications we dispensed.
Okay. So this, in other words, does this document indicate that Corium, somebody at Corium, not necessarily you, dispensed the medications that are listed on here?
Yes.
The dates indicated?
Yes.
Okay. And the same is true of page 2, second page of this?
Yes.
If I could refer you to the, what did you call this, prescription profile?
Medication profile.
Medication profile, sorry. On the second page, the description of the dispensation on May 20th, 2016, how many bottles were dispensed?
Six.
And each bottle contained what?
I think they were 10 mil bottles. I am not positive.
Okay.
They could have been five.
Okay. And is that true of the dispensation on June 24th?
Yes.
And then the others are smaller amounts, correct?
That's a specific dose. I don't think that indicates what we dispensed.
Okay.
The 0.5 mils would be equivalent to the 50 milligrams dose ordered. I don't think we dispensed one dose.
I see.
What's the, if you flip back to page 1, you can see what the header is for that column.
RX number, medication.
Yeah, unit of measure. Okay. Then I can't tell you what we dispensed.
Okay. But the prescription looks like it's 100 milligrams, 100 milliliters, 50 milligrams POBID.
That's the concentration of the medication in a 1 milliliter volume.
Okay. And the PO means per oral, and the
correct
BID is twice a day.
Correct.
If I could retrieve that.
Absolutely.
That is all I have. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Schott, were you aware, or are you aware that this was dispensed, the hydromorphone was dispensed immediately before a trip to Mexico?
I am now.
Okay. I'm going to refresh your recollection if I showed you your deposition of what date is it? October 22nd, 2019, a little earlier than this.
On what date?
It says October 22nd, 2019.
The deposition date, okay.
Yes. May I approach him?
You may.
It's just one question and answer. It's a little closer to the time. About knowing this was about Maya's treatment in Mexico?
A little.
Okay. That's all I have.
Okay. Mr. Hunter, do you have any further questions?
Yes.
Members of the jury, do any of you have any questions? One of the questions I'm not going to be able to ask, unfortunately, and the other one, sir, the first ketamine was issued with a stop date, and the next treatment was issued before the stop date was concluded. What does that mean? And if we need to put the exhibit up, we can. Can we put the exhibit up? Or I can just hand him the sheet of paper. Okay.
Am I on?
Yes, yes, sir. You can answer the question.
We received a new prescription with a different dose. So when we dispensed the first or the second prescription for the first time, we canceled out the old one. So there were not two prescriptions on file at the same time.
Mr. Hunter, any follow-up questions? Mr. Anderson, any follow-up? Okay. May this witness be excused from all subpoenas?
Yes, Your Honor. Yes.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Ms. Crowles.
At this time, Judge, we'll play the deposition of Dr. Hanna.
And do we know how long this one's going to...
It's not very long. I think it's 25 minutes total.
Okay, the jury's saying keep going, right? And don't turn the lights
36
off.
36 minutes total.
36 minutes.
Okay. And it's two volumes of the break, correct?
Well, it's two different depositions, so there might be a pause, and then it'll continue again, correct?
36 minutes, 30 seconds. We'll leave the lights on and roll tape.
Will you raise your right hand, please, Dr. Hanna? Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give today be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Can you please state your name and professional address for the record, please?
Ashraf Hanna, 2250 Drew Street, Clearwater, Florida, 33765.
In your experience, if you don't have privileges at a hospital, can you see a patient and consult with a patient at that hospital?
No.
And why is that?
I don't have privilege.
Okay, so you never had privileges at Johns Hopkins?
Never. Why will I have that? It's far away from me. I don't deal with patients there.
To your knowledge, Maya Kowalski's primary care physician, Dr. Wassener, never referred Maya Kowalski to you.
Again, I can't remember when I have it here on the referral. I have it blank. I just looked at it before the depot, you know, who referred her, and I looked, it was blank. But a lot of times, you know, the patient herself, you know, or the family will request from the primary care a referral to me if the insurance or if they require that. So they will go ask the doctor, please, we need a referral to Dr. Hanna. But it's not the doctor who suggested, it's the patients or family who suggested that based on their online research.
So you've been doing the IV ketamine for 10 to 12 years, I think you said?
I believe so.
And is that why you have a website that's ivketamine.com?
Correct.
And you've posted some blog entries on that website?
Correct.
And I also understand you have another website called nopainhana.com, correct?
That's correct.
Did you talk to the psychologist at all in 2016 to get an idea of how Maya was doing from a psychological standpoint?
No, I did not.
Now, when you were infusing Maya, can you explain to me what type of... monitoring was going on?
Well, we have EKG monitoring and pulse oximetry monitoring.
And why did you have to do that?
That's standard of care. She would show me videos of her jumping in the pool, doing activities, being with her friends and family. So she had some good response, and treatment of ketamine has been successful for her.
So I guess my question is, doctor, at what point would you determine with a patient like Maya Kowalski, okay, there's been this uptake regulation, it's gone too far, we need to stop it and go backwards?
If her, well, if she, her condition improves or her vitals becomes unstable.
Okay.
Or if there is any change in liver enzymes. And then all along this time, I monitored, I did like 16 or 20 liver enzymes and they were all perfect.
What about abdominal pain? Can ketamine cause severe abdominal pain?
That's from the cholangitis from the liver.
Okay, so you sent her to Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital?
Yes.
Why?
Because I failed to help her. There's nothing I could do to her. I told the mother, that's the maximum I can do. I cannot give her any more. She has abdominal pain. I need her to go to a bigger place. They can maybe do some continuous infusion. First of all, we need to see why she's having abdominal pain. They can do some lab work, check, make sure nothing else is going on. If I couldn't, if I couldn't control her with my average capability, with the maximum infusions I could do here, then it was time for me to send her to another facility.
So is it fair to say that October 6, 2016, which was your last infusion date with her, that was the maximum that you felt comfortable with?
Yes.
Who gave the order to have a port placed?
Yes.
Who did?
I did.
Well, then let me draw your attention to your last infusion here, October 6, 2016. That can be found at HANA 000184 to 185. And the patient on that day is in 10 out of 10 pain still with pain medications. And you now went up to 1,250 milligrams plus a 50 milligram ketamine bolus. And you did this infusion over a shorter period of time, 2 hours, which gets us to above 24 milligrams per kilogram per hour. What was the medical decision making about going up even higher on 10-6-16?
As you see, the day before she came with 10 over 10. She was screaming. She was crying from pain. Her mother stated that I cannot live. You know, she's in so much pain. She's screaming. She's up all night. This is the patient I'm having in front of me. I did everything I could the day before. I discussed with the mother. We said, okay, you know, actually the father was there, you know, and I discussed the case with him. You know, I said, I'm really running out of option here probably. You know, I can try to shock her brain more, try to give her, you know, I don't want to give her more dosing, but let's see if I give it to her in a shorter period of time that you can achieve a better result. And that was, you know, I told him, this is the maximum I can do. If she does not get better after that, we're going to send her to the hospital.
So I think you just answered one of my previous questions. October 6, 2016, that was the maximum level you felt comfortable with, above 24 milligrams per kilograms per hour?
I had given her enough. She was not responding. There was nothing else I could do.
Is it possible, doctor, that the abdominal pain you're referencing was caused by these infusions?
I mean, it can be a side effect. As I said, it can be a side effect from, you know, like a cholangitis or something. That's why we needed her to go to the hospital, maybe get liver function. And I don't know how her liver functions. And these are, as I said, reversible. So when I have a patient like that, you know, I send them to the hospital. That would be the prudent thing to do.
Over the course that you were doing these infusions, doctor, and I have 55 infusions here ranging from early January to October 6th of 2016. I also understand that you wrote several prescriptions for oral ketamine to be used at home. Do you remember doing that?
Yes.
It appears to have been signed by Beata Kowalski, an individual by the name of Joanna Misich, RN, a Heather Bonilla, LPN, and yourself, Dr. Ashraf Khanna, MD. Doctor, do you remember the circumstances of providing this agreement to Mrs. Kowalski?
Yes.
We're good, Jeff.
Why did you make her sign this after having prescribed oral ketamine for the better part of 8 months?
So she did ask me.
You thought you were a success.
Absolutely. We had the year that I kept her in somehow improved quality of life. You know, during the years, She had better pain relief. Her pain went up, you know, to about 3 or 4, went up to 8 or 9 on several occasions. She was able to do more activity with her family. I consider that a success.
She had a severe flare that took her down to a 0 quality of life after 55 infusions with you over the course of 8 months, and you're going to tell the jury that's a success?
Well, you have to look into the duration that she did good. There was a lot of time she didn't improve. She had a flare. She had a downside. Any doctor, you talk to any CRPS expert will tell you that CRPS has ups and downs. And then if she got an injury, if she got anything that did hurt her more, trauma to anything, her pain can be significantly severe. And then if she had some abdominal discomfort for whatever reason, that can flare up her CRPS and can prevent her from getting better with the infusion. That's why I send her to the hospital. It happens with few patients. They go to the hospital, abdominal symptoms improve, and then patient slowly starts to improve. This is very common. You have not seen CRPS patients, sir. You have not treated CRPS patients. I have treated 18,000 CRPS, you know, infusion done with thousands of patients that are treated for me that coming from all over the world. And I've seen that very commonly.
So she comes to you with a quality of life scale in January of 2016 of 2. And when she leaves you, it's 0. And you're now sending her to the emergency room at a children's hospital, and that's considered a success in your book based on 18,000 patients.
Sir, the treatment, she had a flare. All those patients that I've treated, at some points or the other, they had 0 relief. At some points or the other, they have trauma that increased their pain. They had surgery, and their pain went sky high, went to 0. Then we treat them, and then they get better. That is not, the treatment didn't end. They ended it. Things ended it this way. But that doesn't mean treatment was not a success. The fact that at some point her pain went to 0 doesn't mean that ketamine failed. Ketamine has provided her with a good quality of relief better than what she was on. That's documented by her family, by videos, by everybody. That's number one. Number two, the fact that if it was a 0, doesn't mean that it failed. It means she had a flare up. So you keep saying it failed, she ended up with 0. She didn't end up. I just sent her to the hospital. I send patients to the hospital every now and then. That doesn't mean they're failed. They go to the hospital, they get treatment, and then they come back. And we continue the treatments. I have several patients like that.
Didn't you testify, though, that you had reached your maximum amount of ketamine that you felt comfortable with?
At that time, sir. That's why I send her to the hospital.
When Maya Kowalski went to the emergency room at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital on October 7, 2016, my understanding is your office was contacted by the emergency room. Do you know anything about that?
Correct.
Do you know what you told the emergency room you were doing in terms of infusions?
Yes.
What did you tell them?
I was telling them she was getting infusion of IV ketamine at our place, and she was having, you know, diffuse pain, abdominal pain. We failed to really treat her. And I wanted to see if there's anything else going on to do some investigations for her.
Would you consider having to send Maya Kowalski to a children's hospital on October 7, 2016 to be a complication?
It was a side effect. I did not know why she is having more pain. I failed to treat her. During that day, I failed to help her. So there was nothing else I personally can do for her. And I want to make sure there's no other underlying condition that I'm missing.
When Maya presented to Johns Hopkins on October 7, 2016, she indicated to staff that she had not eaten in 5 days. In your experience, patients that are having high-dose ketamine infusions, can that create issues with eating?
Can, but I believe the mother was giving her IV fluid. And I wasn't aware, that she was not eating for 5 days.
If you were aware of that, would that have changed your ketamine treatment approach in the last few days you were with her?
Yeah, I will probably hold it and have her take a break so she can eat.
Okay. Is there an association between ketamine use and having trouble with eating?
I mean, ketamine is like any other medication, can cause nausea.
Did you ask Maya how often she had been eating?
I personally did not. Yeah.
Now, before this visit, doctor, you attempted to go to Johns Hopkins to assess Maya at Johns Hopkins, correct?
Correct.
And you drove there, right?
Correct.
And you were told you couldn't visit Maya because you'd never applied for emergency privileges, right?
Yeah, because initially I got approval. I applied for something. I can't remember. You know, I remember signing whatever they needed me to sign. I remember the judge said that I can go see her. Again, that's my recollection. Don't hold me on that. My recollection, the judge did approve me going. They sent me some paperwork to sign. I signed it, filled everything. And then when I went, they declined me seeing her.
So June 7, 2017 was the next time you saw her?
Yeah, in June 7.
Oh, that's all approximately 5 months after you saw her in January of 2017, correct?
Correct.
And I'm asking you, Dr. Hanna, if you could tell me, based on your record, how much relief you documented the patient had since January of 2017.
Yeah, so 60 to 70% improved. You know, she did not have hypersensitivity or allodynia.
Was she on ketamine during the period of time from January to the time she saw you?
No.
Do you know what she was doing in that interval of time that led to a 60 to 70% relief?
No, I mean, I believe she was doing some therapy.
Okay. And I think it says here she was doing physical therapy, home exercise program, aqua therapy, correct? Let me ask you this, doctor. Within a reasonable degree of medical probability, do you think that the 60 to 70% relief that you noted here on June 7, 2017 was due to the ketamine that you administered back in October of 2016?
It can be. There's a very good probability that it can be. Yes.
More likely than not?
More likely than not, because she tried it before the ketamine and it did not help her. She had tried the therapy before the ketamine. The only reason why she went for ketamine is because she failed therapy. She went to hospitals. She went up north. They did put her in rehab. She went to rehab in many hospitals before. That actually increased her pain. If you look into the note, she did therapy that made her pain worse. And that's documented in all her history.
With regard to the handoff of Maya's ketamine treatment to you from either Dr. Kirkpatrick or Dr. Cantu, in other words, when you picked up her care and started to manage her care, did you get Dr. Kirkpatrick's records?
Yes.
You did? Okay.
Yes.
Did you get Dr. Wassenauer's records ever?
Dr. who?
Wassenauer, her primary care physician.
No.
Okay. Did you ever speak with him?
I don't recall.
Is that the first one? Okay.
Moving to the second clip.
Doctor, can you raise your right hand, please? Do you swear from the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
My understanding is we were sent, in response to a subpoena, some standing orders from your practice for ketamine. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
Show me.
Yeah, I'll screen share them for you. This will be exhibit one to this deposition today. And this, for the record, is a...
I saw it on this run.
Will you approach real quick? Everything okay now? Let's go ahead and resume playing.
Ketamine standing order that was produced pursuant to a subpoena from Florida Spine Institute. Can you confirm with me, Dr. Anna, that those are your standard initial and maintenance therapy doses for CRPS patients receiving ketamine?
Yeah, but again, these are as you see here, dosage may left up to MD discretion. So okay. They change a lot, yes.
Understood. But your standard initial dose is 1 milligram per kilogram per hour?
Yeah, those are guidelines in general. Yes, I start with the 1 milligram per kilo and titrate it. I can stay at 1, I can stay at 2, I can go to 3. It really varies.
And how often do you go above 20 milligrams per kilogram per hour in your practice?
Not that common.
How did you come to gather from Dr. Cantu that was what happened in Mexico?
Personal phone call.
All right, let me ask you this. Where in your chart is there a statement from a psychiatrist clearing Maya Kowalski for ketamine treatments and ruling out underlying issues of schizophrenia?
Well, I know that Maya was seeing a psychiatrist, you know, prior to that. And also with Maya, it was a different situation because this is usually for fresh patients who did not get ketamine before. Maya did see Dr. Kirkpatrick in Tampa, and she did have ketamine. And Kirkpatrick, you know, also, you know, he does require psychiatric clearance. And then she saw Dr. Cantu, so she already had IV ketamine before. And without any problem or any flare-up of any schizophrenia. And there was no mention of any of the notes that she had schizophrenia.
So you were relying on Dr. Kirkpatrick about a psychiatric referral?
Yeah, and the fact that he did clear her for ketamine infusion.
Okay, but I'm not able to see. There's no record that Maya Kowalski ever saw a psychiatrist for clearance with Dr. Kirkpatrick. Were you aware of that?
I know she was seeing a psychiatrist or psychologist that he was aware that she's getting ketamine infusion.
Okay, so what psychiatrist was Maya seeing, doctor?
I cannot remember, you know, the name. I know she was seeing either a psychiatrist or a psychologist, you know, in the past. I know she was following with one, and I know that she was cleared to get ketamine. At least Dr. Kirkpatrick felt comfortable giving her ketamine infusion. And if Dr. Kirkpatrick felt comfortable, I felt comfortable.
All right. So do you require a psychologist or a psychiatrist?
Either or.
Do you anticipate doing so at trial, if asked?
I don't know. I mean, if the judge asks me or you ask me, you know, I may have to review that. I haven't reviewed it. I don't know anything about that. This is all new to me now.
In other words,
most of what I have been asked is regarding my treatment to Maya so far.
Let me ask you this, doctor. Do you recall referring Maya Kowalski for implantation of a infusoport to facilitate ketamine infusions?
I mean, I do. Can I answer?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I mean, I do recall that we needed, you know, a port for her. Yes.
Did you recall discussing that referral with the surgeon who placed that port?
Okay. I cannot recall. It was about 5 years ago. But I recall that, you know, because of Maya's condition, her difficult IVs, and the frequency of getting the infusion due to her intractable pain, that we did suggest, you know, getting a port. But because I do not manage the port, you know, I believe sometimes the order has to come from the doctor who's going to manage it. So it has to be primary care or surgeons or something. But we did make a recommendation, you know, for a port because, you know, obviously we don't want to torture, you know, a young girl with IVs all the time, especially with patients with CRPS. It's very painful to restart IVs for her.
Is it your customary practice to speak with the surgeon who will be placing that port?
Not really. Not usually.
What I'm trying to drive at here, though, Dr. Hanna, is would you have discussed your treatment protocol with the surgeon who placed the port prior to the port being placed?
Probably no. I don't usually do that.
Okay. So, doctor, what is a caudal block?
Okay. A caudal block is basically, you know, like an epidural injection, and it's done at the tailbone. And it, you know, basically with her, it will be like a lidocaine, putting in lidocaine or bupivacaine, a local anesthetic to produce a block, a saddle block, or, you know, just basically something to block the pain signals that are coming from her legs to her brain and spinal cord.
Had you ever done a coddle block on Maya Kowalski?
I don't recall.
What was the longest infusion that you did with Maya Kowalski?
I believe 4 hours.
Okay. If I can't find in your chart where there was a scheduled visit for this.
Maybe it was just a conversation, but we actually didn't schedule her.
Okay. Well, can you take a look at your record if you have access to it and see where your list of schedules are and tell me if you had a scheduled appointment with Maya Kowalski for Monday, October 10th of 2016 or Tuesday, October 11th of 2016?
October what?
October 10th or October 11th?
I have October 10th. Okay, so these, I believe, were dates. And again, I don't know. They were just on the schedule. They can be from before. It really cannot tell me when were they scheduled. Okay, whether the day before or the month before or whatever. Because, you know, Beata... with Maya, we used to schedule them monthly or whatever. So to be able to make sure that we have a place for them on the schedule. So, but I have here 10.
So you have a 10 patient cancellation or no show for Maya Kowalski, 10 of 2016.
Yes.
What about 10-11?
Yes.
You have a 10-11 no show and cancellation?
Yes.
What services had you envisioned rendering based on your documentation on 10-10 or 10-11?
Nothing documented. You know, and she really didn't have any clue about ketamine infusion. You know, she had no idea about even the diagnosis of CRPS. She had, didn't know really too much about it.
Okay, and what led you to that conclusion?
I had a conversation with her. I had to explain to her.
Didn't you also have some conversations with doctors at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital?
Yes.
Do you recall how Dr. Sally Smith introduced herself to you?
I can't remember.
Have you ever applied for privileges at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, doctor?
Actually, I may have. I think I remember they did ask me because they wanted me to come, and initially they want me to come and evaluate her, you know, over there, so, or to see her. And I think they wanted me, in order for me to see her over there, they want me to apply for privilege. I think so.
And did you apply?
I can't remember honestly the detail of that event.
But you I remember
that they allowed me to see her. That's what I recall. I recall that they approved me seeing her. They sent a letter of approval, something like that. And I went there. And when I went there, they declined me from seeing her.
Who approved you?
I don't know. I got the morning approval to see her and to go there. And then I went that evening after office hours to go see them. And they declined me from seeing them.
Why were you declined?
I have no idea.
Was it because you didn't have emergency staff privileges?
Again, they didn't even want me to see her as a visitor.
How common is it for you to have a patient where you do 4-hour infusions, then you shorten it to 3 hours, and then you shorten it to 2, and then you go up to 8 hours?
It happens. I had the patient... every patient is different. I had, you know, again, 4 to 3 to 2, that's not a major difference. The doses have not changed a lot. I just wanted to get a higher peak concentration in her blood. And as I said, Maya's base was already 1,000 milligram over 2.5 hours. So she had that before.
I guess my question is, I believe you reviewed Dr. Kirkpatrick's records before beginning ketamine therapy with Maya, correct?
Correct.
But you didn't review any records from Dr. Cantu?
No, I did talk to him. Before I infused Maya, I did talk personally to Dr. Cantu.
And how long was that conversation?
Probably at least half hour.
And when you communicate with patients or their families via email, do you typically save those emails in your chart?
Usually, yes. Typically they should be in the chart.
And why is it there are several emails between you and Beata Kowalski and others that never made their way into your medical chart for Maya Kowalski?
I don't recall.
Some of those Gmail accounts made their way into the chart and some did not. I'm trying to get an idea why it is that some Gmail emails made their way into the chart and some didn't.
I don't know.
Dr. Hanna, I've screen shared something from your chart with you. Can you see that?
Yes.
And it's going to be an exhibit. So it's Hanna 001753. What is it that we're looking at here?
It's a prescription that says it's medically necessary for Mediport placement for frequent infusion therapy.
Okay. Is that the type of prescription that you would author in the event that you want one of your patients to have a port placed?
Yeah. So it's not an order. It's a request.
Okay. Do you know who ordered the port for Maya Kowalski in this case?
Again, I don't know. I mean, either primary care or the surgeon. I mean, if the surgeon evaluate her, then the surgeon will put it in, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure exactly, you know, how that works as far as orders or whatever. But, you know, we usually request and then usually either the primary care or the surgeon will help with the maintenance of the port.
Okay. So is it fair to say you recommended placement of this Mediport and then from there you didn't have any further involvement with the port?
Correct.
Dr. Hanna, I'm Greg Anderson, Maya Kowalski's attorney in this case. You were the, can we pin Dr. Hanna? There you go. Were you Maya's attending physician during 2016?
That's correct.
And you were responsible in part for her pain management?
Correct.
Your responsibilities then would be to take all reasonable and safe steps to alleviate her pain and improve her living condition?
That's correct.
The amount of ketamine that she received, based upon your background, training, and experience, review of the literature at that time, and experience clinically, did they support the treatments that you gave?
That's
correct. If this is played back, can you say that again? So that,
that's correct. Okay. That's correct.
All right. And the at no time was Maya ever in any danger from the medication that she received from you?
Absolutely not. All the records show she's been extremely stable during the infusion.
And did you take liver studies from her before and after her infusions?
Yes, multiple occasions.
Is that one of the key ways to determine whether she is having any negative effects from a ketamine infusion?
Correct.
And did she have any change of in her liver functions or any of your other blood work indicative of any side effects, detrimental things occurring because of the ketamine infusions?
No, sir.
During the time that you had Maya as a patient, did you have the opportunity to meet and get to know Beata Kowalski?
Correct.
Tell us all of the doctors you can recall speaking with about Maya's condition before or during her treatment.
Oh, I remember talking to, you know, Dr. Cantu and Dr. Kirkpatrick.
And the treatments that you had for Maya, had they worked in the past for this child?
Yes.
So she received relief? Yeah.
Yes.
And so tell the jury, if you will, about titrating. They may not know that term. I certainly didn't know it when I first heard it. But insofar as the administration of ketamine, what does titrate mean?
Titrate means you adjust the dose based on effect and side effects.
Okay. And so are you monitoring Maya's, lack of a better term, vitals and responses to the ketamine as she's receiving it?
Absolutely.
Based on your background training experience and consultation with the other pain management physicians, was this medically necessary in order to keep her CRPS pain under control?
Yes.
And CRPS pain, can you describe to the jury, I know it's difficult, but in terms of ranking the pain from patients who are in the midst of a CRPS episode, outbreak, whatever you'd like to call it, can you give the jury an idea of the severity of it?
CRPS pain is the worst possible pain, you know, described by, you know, patients who had kidney stones and patients who had labor, patients who had all kind of pain, that this is far worse pain than any pain they ever experienced. And it's obviously the number one cause of suicide from a chronic pain condition.
Understanding that your specialty is in pain management, but how long have you been a licensed physician in the state of Florida?
Since 1996.
What is your specialty? Do you have any other specialties besides pain management? I mean, are you an anesthesiologist or neurologist?
I'm board certified anesthesiologist, board certified pain management.
So, and how long have you been board certified?
Over 25 years now.
And Beata Kowalski, was she, from your experience with her, a concerned, attentive mother?
Yes.
How's Maya doing today, to the best of your knowledge?
To the best of my knowledge, she gets some flare-ups, and I believe she's an A-plus student.
Okay. Do you know when the last time she had ketamine was?
Was the date she was sent to the hospital.
Do you know what Maya Kowalski's weight was as expressed in kilograms during the entirety of the 55 infusion sessions she did with you?
I believe it was 27.
Does that complete the plan?
Yes.
Can I see the attorneys for just a second?
Yes.
Okay, members of the jury, we're going to take an afternoon break. This is going to be a very healthy break. It's going to be about 20 minutes long. Do not discuss this case amongst yourselves. Do not do any investigation and receive no information.
All right. There is exiting.
Gallery, I'm going to talk at sidebar with the attorneys for a few minutes. You're welcome to continue to stay and listen in, but I am going to have the sidebar machine going on. So if you want to walk out for a break, you can. If you want to sit here, that's fine as well.
This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better, and that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Think about your mentors and idols, the people who inspire you most. While it may look like they have all the answers, they don't. But they do know when to ask questions and seek the support they need. In a world that glorifies hyper-independence, it's easy to forget that we're all better with a support system. Therapy is a great way to find a consistent source of support in your life, so you can break free from the outdated belief that seeking help is a sign of weakness. BetterHelp has experienced therapists ready to help you with challenges, ranging from anxiety and depression to relationships and stress. It's convenient, too. You can join a session with the click of a button, helping you fit therapy into your busy life. And you deserve that. You can even send your therapist a message anytime something comes up. Build your support system with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better, and that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday?
supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I like things my way, my coffee, my schedule, and my treatment. So I talked to my doctor about self-injecting with the VivGuard Hytrulo prefilled syringe, which contains efgartigimod alpha and hyaluronidase QVFC. It's injected under your skin, subcutaneously. It means I can inject in my space, on my time. It's my treatment, my way. Visit VivGuardMyWay.com. That's VYVGARD MyWay.com. And talk to your doctor about VivGuard Hytrulo. Brought to you by Argenics.